Okay, the Mishnah begins that Pesilin Nisa is Liyom HaRevi, and Rashi comments that the hope is Mitol Shiyav LeBezdin Yisbar HaDavar Kishiyetze HaKol Shema Yavo Edim. The whole purpose of this Takana was with the hope that Edim in fact will come. If you look in the Rashba and the Ramaschal Pesula as well as in the Chudushay HaRitva, they comment that it seems clear according to Rashi that the Takana is specifically in those cases Shitzrichim Edim. As Rashi says, the whole purpose of the Takana is that there will be an opportunity that Edim can come in order to be Mevare the Safek. Apparently that means we're talking about an instance where Edim are necessary in order to forbid this woman to her husband. That means, the Rashba writes in the Ritva, based on the Sugya and Daftes, that we're talking about the following case, one that otherwise would be one of Sveik Sveika. Let's assume we're dealing with an instance of a normal Esesh Yisrael, and all of a sudden the Baal comes with this particular Taina. So the Gemara comments that there are two Sveikos at hand. One issue is whether it's Tachtav or ain't Tachtav. Even if we should assume that a Maisa Bia took place, who says that she was an Eshes Ishes Insa? Maybe it happened before Erisin. And even if you assume that no, that it happened La'achar Erisin, but nonetheless, who says that she is forbidden to her husband? After all, now we have to consider, was it Ba'ones or was it Baratzma? So that's the classic instance that the Gemara mentions in that test, the case of Sveik Sveika. So the fact that the Baal comes and she says that she is a Ba'ula, certainly that is insufficient grounds to create an Isser al HaBaal, but rather it's necessary that Edom will come to serve to further be Mevarim. Good, if that is true, let's assume, for example, in dealing with a case where it's not a Sveik Sveika. Let's assume, for example, we're dealing with an Eishes Kohen, where there's only one suffix, whether it was Tachtav or whether it was Ein Tachtav, because after all, an Eishes Kohen is forbidden al HaBaal ben Baratzon. Or, for example, let's assume we have an instance that it was absolutely clear that it was Tachtav. Let's assume we're talking about a case of Kidsha B'chusa Mibas Gimel, that the Maisa Erisin took place al Yedei Havia when she was so young. So in such an instance, it's impossible that there could have been a Maisa Bia before Erisin. So that now there's only one issue at hand, whether it was Ba'ones, whether it was Baratzon. In that case, we don't require that Edom have to come. There, simply, it's not an instance of Sveik Sveika. So again, the Rishonim point out that according to Rashi Shita, the fact that it's necessary Shema Yavo Edim indicates we're talking about the standard case of an Eishes Yisrael, where the Kedushin occurred at a much later time, where we have two Sveikos, Tachtav and Ein Tachtav, Onis and Ratzon, and therefore it's necessary to summons Edim in order to create this Issa. Good? After all, the Ritva points out it would only be a single Safeg, so therefore, with the Tainas Habal alone, that would be sufficient. And the Lashon HaRitva is Shehareyu Osra Latzmo Ve'eno Tzarech Bezdin. It's not necessary to have the formal Maimed Nishivas Bezdin in order to create this. Tosus points out the Ramaschal Shehim the following difficulty. That the Gemara says in Daf Tesam and Aleph, the Chiddush of Rabbi Elazar, that Ha'omer Pesach Patsuach Matzasi Neman Osra Lav. If the husband comes and he says simply, Pesach Masuach, he is Neman. So the Gemara says on the Tesmud Beis that Abaye comments, of course that's true, that Afanan Amitanina is not absolutely clear in our Mishnah. Now that Abal is Neman with the Taina of Pesach Pasuach. So Tosus already asks, according to Rashi, very difficult. How do you see any indicator from our Mishnah at all? Our Mishnah, according to Rashi, seemingly is dealing with a case where the Baal has no Nemanus at all. We're talking about a case where it's a Sveik Sveika, and it's necessary for Edom to come. So how can Abaye say that your Chiddush Rabbi Elazar is not a Chiddush at all? The Mishnah says that a Baal is Neman. That's Tosus' Kasha. So Rabbi Yatam writes the following Chiddush, that no, that really the Tam HaTakana was not because of the cases of Sveik Sveika, but rather was the regular case of Chad Sveika. Either the instance of Eishes Kohen, or Rabbeinu Tam says the case of Chusa Migimel Shanim. In that case, we want the husband to immediately go to Bezin, because after all, his time is necessary and sufficient in order to create the Issa. But isn't the Mishnah's example of the Sunesis Yom Ravi in all cases? Not just simply in a case of an Eishes Kohen or a case of Chusa Migimel Shanim. So then Rabbeinu Tam writes the following, the Tikna V'chol HaNashim, based on Oplu, the reason for the Takon is the case of Eishes Kohen and Pchusa Migimel. And Enachinami, the Takon was formulated as a Loplug to apply to kol hanoshim. And that's why the Mishnah simply comments, Basil and Issa's, the Yom HaRevi. And Chiddush Rabbi Kiveger points out the following, that why is it that Rashi did not understand simply as Rabbi Yotam? Rabbi Kiveger suggests the following. The concept of lo plug normally means that the miut is nigra, achar harao. You have a takana, and the takana could apply, let's assume, in the vast majority of cases, and as a lo plug, even in cases where the reason doesn't apply, nonetheless the takana does not apply. But do you have a concept of lo plug where the rov is nigra achra takana shomiyut? According to Rabbi Natam here, the reason for the takana is only in an instance of eshes kohen or pchusim igimel, and as a result of a lo plug, now we expand it to the vast majority of cases. That's very difficult. Rabbi Kiveger points out everyone agrees that there's an element of low plug. Rabbi Kiveger gives the following example. Let's assume we're dealing with the Ketana, who's an Eishes Yisrael. So also the halacha is Niseis Liyom HaRevi. Good? Rabbi Kiveger writes, that's a classic example of low plug, a Ketana, who's an Eishes Yisrael. Why? Because what's the issue there? Even if Eidim will come, and the Eidim will say Tachta, but what's the halacha? Well, soon the Gemara is going to tell us that Pitu Ketana, Onesu. That even if this young girl acquiesced, but nonetheless she's allowed bazdas. So therefore Al Pidin, that also is called an onus, which means even if Adam will come forward, they can demonstrate tafta. That will be insufficient to create any Isser whatsoever. Because here you're dealing with a Ketana, who's an Eishes Yisrael, and will treat that Al Pidin as an onus. So even if Adam will come, there's no Isser. But nonetheless, Bedoras Loplug, Rabbi Kiveger points out, that's an example of a low plug, where the norm is that the takana applies in an unusual case. A ketana, Eishes Yisrael, also Nisei Sim Ravi. But according to the Chiddush of Rabbi Tam, it means that the takana was instituted because of very unusual circumstance, Eishes Kohen B'chusim Gimel, and based on low plug, therefore applies to the vast majority of cases. That's why the Kiveger comments is somewhat difficult, and why it is that Rashi specifically assumed it must be the normal instance of Eishes Yisrael, and that's where Rashi comes with the case of Sveik Sveik. If you look in the Chiddush Ritva, the Ritva comments as follows, that the takana was Mishum Kulo Nistricha, Enachinami, both as Rashi and Rabbi Nutam. Both factors played in to this takana. After all, the Ritva writes in both cases, the case of Sharnashim, as well as the case of the Eishes Kohen of Chusim Gimel, were necessary in order to create the takana. Why is that true? Because we've discussed many times, the Chachamim do not have a categorical right simply to make any din d'rabbana that they wish. Certainly it has to be Letzarech. Right? The Rambam discusses in Perek Beis of Hilchos Mamrim. At times, the Chachamim create the Din Rabbanan, and they can violate the Issa D'Oraisa, right? The Baal Tosif. The Rambam's example is the Chachamim have a right to institute Dinim D'Rabbanan, but they have to make it clear that they're only doing so as a Din D'Rabbanan. If they try to pass it off as an Issa D'Oraisa, that's Baal Tosif. This is what the Prima Gadim explains at length, that when the Chachamim overreach, they have no right to make a takana. So for example, they have to demonstrate that there is a tzarech. If it's a milsa de lo shchiach, lo gazer be rabbanan doesn't simply mean the chacham didn't feel it was necessary. But mehecha teis, the Torah allows the chachamim to make zeros in the case of milsa de lo shchiach. Or as we learned in Rashi in the very beginning of Eitzah, Rashi writes there's an isser of making a gzera the gzera. It's not just simply the chacham didn't feel it was necessary. The pasuk says, "Ushmartim es mishmarti," and the drashas chacham is asum yishmeres the mishmarti. They have a right to make a siog the Torah, but they cannot make a siog the siog. So this is the chiddush that the Ritva writes, that both factors are absolutely necessary. If you're dealing with simply an Eishes Kohen, or you're dealing with the case of a Ketana, Pchusim Gimel, so those reasons alone would be insufficient. Because after all, the Ritva writes, that's Mamisha Miuta Miuta, that's a Milsa de lo Shchiach. If you're dealing with the case of Rashi of Sharnashim, that also in and of itself is lo Shchiach. Why? Good, the occurrence is something that could be likely. But the possibility that Eidim in fact will come to be Mivar the Safek, right, is more unlikely. So that's the chiddush that the Ritva writes, that either or is necessary but insufficient. But once you have the combination of factors, in a case of an Eishes Yisrael, good. There is a toelus of Bisil Nisis and Ravi. Why? Because the possibility of Edim will come. And in a case of Eishes Kohen and Ketana, there certainly is a toelus, because then the Val is Nemon, so with the combination of both factors, that's the Takana of Bisil Nisis, Yom HaRavi. And the Ritva writes, and that's exactly the answer to Tosus's kasha. According to Rashi, if the halacha was only Sveik Sveika, dealing with the case where the Baal himself is not Neman, and we're talking about a case exclusively where Edom is necessary, so how can Abayi say in the Testament days, Afanan Amitamnina? But the Ritva comments that no, Rashi realized that alone is a Milsa Deloshchia. Rashi also acknowledges the straight case of an Eishes Kohen and a Ketana. It's both factors which contribute to the Takanas Chachma Basil Anises, and that's the Raya that Abaye brings. If it wasn't for both factors, then the Chum would not make such a Takana. So therefore, Abaye can argue, Afanan Amitanina, that you see from the Mishnah, that yes, the Baal is Neman. Because if it was only Machmas, the case where the Baal is not Neman, right, to resolve the Sveik Sveika, that would not be the Takana of our Mishnah. You take a look at the Ran, at the very beginning, Aleph and Aleph Adap, Yarif, Dermasko, Basula, the Ran also raises this issue and writes the following. Abayi's diuk, that Afananami Tanina, stems from the following. The Ran writes that if, in fact, the husband would never be Naaman, so therefore, Kiisa, come on, Lo Shaklina Vitarina Lemilsei. Right? We wouldn't even listen to him, but rather mishaskinamle, we would silence him. Right? A person comes to Bezin and they start talking about an issue that they have absolutely no nemanus whatsoever. So Bezin is not going to be so patient as to hear the person out entirely, right, and then answer, you know, that your statement is irrelevant. Right? The moment they see that the person is giving edus regarding that which there's no nemanus whatsoever, that's the chiddush that the Ran writes of mishaskinamle. They'll silence him immediately. And yet all of a sudden he's coming to Bezin with the tain of Pesach Pesuach. Good. And Bezin explains that the two elements of Suffolk, was it Tachta, was it not, was it Onus, was it Baratzon. But the Ran writes the following chiddush. The fact that they are listening to the Baal and they are giving legitimacy, credence to his taina, seems to indicate that in principle there is a level of Nemanos. That was the diuk of Abayi. If a person will come in and simply start talking, and regarding an element that he has no nemanus whatsoever, mishaskinonlei, Bezin would stop it right there. But the fact that they hear him out, right, that means that this is a relevant issue, that he has nemanus. They could argue you, in this case, you're not fully neman, because here there's a sveik sveika. And based on what you're telling us, you cannot resolve whether it was tachtav or not tachtav, whether it's ba'onus, whether it's baratzon. But the fact that Bezdin is willing to accept his taina, that's the indicator that the Ran writes, that Abayi tells the Safan Alani Tanina, that there is a level of Nemanus, and that's how Rashi would understand that particular sentence. You see, according to Rashi, the following Chiddush. Let's assume Rashi Shita Kipshuta, the case of Sveik Sveika, that is what is driving this Takana. Good? Even after we hear what the Baal says, still we don't know whether it's tachta, we don't know whether it's bonus or baratza, but what, we're going to allow the cult to spread in the hope that Edom will come. Apparently, you see, according to Rashi, the following Chiddush, and that is despite the fact that there is a Sveik Sveika, and despite the fact that the halacha dictates that in a case of Sveik Sveika, we don't create any Isser whatsoever, but apparently, if there's a possibility of Birur, one is obligated to go through that process. If no Edom would show up, and all we have to hang our hat on is the Sveik Sveika and Achinami, no one is going to say that this woman is forbidden to her husband. But we have to go through the process of doing what we can to see to it that Edom will come and try to resolve Tachta and Onis and Ratzam. So Poshub Shadin Rashi Shita, despite the fact that it is a Sveik Sveika, nonetheless, right, Birur is necessary. Here the Ran comments, again, Aleph Med Aleph and Dapi Arif, the Ran writes the following Kiddush, that here, after all, there is some level of Reyesa, that after all, there was a presumption that she was a Basula, and all of a sudden, that what do you mean? That the Yitzra Alayu, and all of a sudden now she is a Ba'ula. So in that case where there is some element of Reisa, Pesach Pasuach, so then, Rami the Mekam Akushta de Milta. Now, we have an obligation of taking it a step further in order to be Mevarim. This is a major issue in the Rishonim. If you have something which is a Sveik Sveika, is there any element of Birur which is necessary? Bashar Shad according to Rashi, absolutely yes. For after all, if this is the basis of the whole Takana, would the Chacham have instituted the Takana, Basil and Isis and Ravi, in a case that does not warrant Talpidin any Birur whatsoever? If you look in the Ramah, in Yaradei and Simin Kufyud, that's a Simin of Sveik Sveika, in Siv Tes, the Ramah discusses the following case. A Maisa Shchita is done. And all of a sudden you notice, on this particular oath, Nishbar or Nishbar Gapo. You see that, right, its wing, right, is crushed or injured. The Ramah writes, it's a Sveik Sveika, that number one is Safek Michayim and Safek Lachar Shchita. We don't know when it occurred. Maybe it happened Lachar Shchita. So the fact that its wing is impaired is irrelevant. And in Tzimtzum Lomah, the Ramah writes, even though it's Michayim, but who says that the animal thereby became a Trefa? Because Nishbar Gapo alone is insufficient. It's an indicator that perhaps Nikra Hareya. So therefore, the Ramah writes, you have a Sveik Sveika. Maybe any damage that occurred to the sof was Lachar Shchita. And even if it was Mechaim, it doesn't necessarily render Trefa. Good? And therefore, it's Mutter Misham Sveik Sveika. And the Ramah adds that Afal Pi Shiesh Levarer Ayidei Bedikas Hareya. Right? Can't you easily check? Look internally and see what measure of damage was done. See if in fact one of the organs was punctured or whether it was not. If it was not punctured, there's nothing to discuss. If it was punctured, so in such a case you no longer have your Sveik Sveika. Now there's only one Sveik, whether it was Mechaim or whether it was Lachar Shchita. But the Ramah writes that no, that Afal Pi Shiesh Levar Ayirei Bedikas Hareya Ein Lachush. Sveik Sveika does not require Birur. And if you take a look in the Shach, the Shach in Sivkot Samach Vav, the Shach quotes from the Chedushi HaRashba. The Rashba is found in Chulin and Daf Nun Gimel Mor Aleph, the Ramasko Ki, that that's not true whatsoever. That Sveik Sveika requires Birur. Here the Rashba in Chulin Daf Nun Gimel Mor Aleph, right, discusses the following case. You have a herd of Shvarim Harbei, the Yosef Ari Ben Ayun, and all of a sudden a lion comes into the herd. And Veinu Makarkarim, and it's clear that some damage is being done. Is any form of bidika necessary? Do you have to examine, right, these animals to make sure that the animal is not a trefa? So Rashba assumes that yes. And the Rashba himself asks that why should that be so? Amayt Srichim Bedika. Isn't it a Sveik Sveika? Number one, he writes that Ikla Meimar, Shema Lo Dorazeh. Maybe the animal that was trampled by the lion was not the animal that you are doing the Shechita to. And Afilim Timtzi Lomar Daraz. And even if it's no, it's clear that one has to be concerned that perhaps the animal, right, that you are now being shochet, was the animal that was injured by this lion. Eimar darash lo k'neged achalal, shein drisa poselos bo. Again, who says it was injured in such a fashion that rendered it a trefa? But nonetheless, the Rashba writes, still, bedika is necessary. Why? D'lo shari sveik sveika, elaheicha d'lo ef shalam od oborov shaldavar, imu osrim lav. The only time we allow a Sveik Sveika is when there's no possibility of Birur. Abo b'malkam shev shalam rabarav shaldavar bokin in v'chema dinosein. Rashba is explicit. That good, if all else fails, we will rely on Sveik Sveika. But if there's a possibility of Birur, Birur certainly is considered to be necessary. This is also what the Chiddush Rashba writes a little bit earlier in Chulin, and daf memvav maveis, that good, without no other choice, Sveik Sveika is allowed. But Kolzman, that Birur is possible, Birur is absolutely necessary. If you you look in the Bir HaGro, right there in Yeridei in Simen Kuf Yud, in Sifkat and Lamed Ches, the Bir HaGro quotes based on the Tosus and the Rush and Avodah Zarah and Daf Lamed Ches and Mabez, it's fake svape, it does not require any bira whatsoever. Machlokes between Tosus and the Rashba. We'll have to discuss this at greater length. We do the sugya and daftes, but this is chiddush al gabi chiddush. Because why is it that sveik is mutter? Everyone agrees that minimally sveik would be mutter. It's just a question of whether a person has to go through, right, the process of birur. Why is it that sveik is mutter? If you look in Shiva Sarashba, the Shiva Sarashba writes in Chelek Aleph, in Simen Taf Aleph, that sveik is midin ra'ov. If there's a single safek, good. Henoch and Ami, sveika is going to be l'chumra. If it's a sveika, so in such a case, right, in order to create an iser, it must be A plus B plus C. So in such a case, simply, sveika is midin ra'ov. And yet, right here, the Rashba writes the following Kiddush, that sveika will be mutter, but enoch and Ami, tzarech levarer. That itself is a fascinating issue. Let's assume in cases we follow a rove. You have a clear rove tilting in one direction. Is there any need for birur in the case of rove? Does one have to see to it that the case at hand is the norm? Maybe it's the case that reflects the miut. If you look at Rashi in Chulin, Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, Rashi writes in one line that when is it that the samach haruba heichad lo efshar? Sometimes, necessarily, you have to follow Rav. Yeah, but Poshav Shat and Rashi is, if one can determine whether your case at hand is part of the Rav or part of the Miut, one is obligated to do so. You know who disagrees? There's a line in the Rashba that disagrees. As Rashba is found in the Kuntras Achron to Yevamos. If you look in the four-volume Rashbas, if you look at the very end, the last pages, in Chelek Gimel, it's found that there's some likutim of the Rashba. It's found in Yevamos Peret Tes Zayin, Dav Kuf Yutes. The Ramban, or the Rashba discusses this explicitly in the Kuntras Achron, whether in cases that Azlinam Basaruba, is bir necessary or is bir unnecessary. So there the Rashba writes the following Chiddush, that Afilu B'Makom Defshel Lemekam Emilsa. Right, even in cases where you could absolutely be mevarin, whether something is part of the rove or whether it's not, there's no need to do so. One can absolutely assume holchen achar harov, not simply midin safek, but pataras vaday, in birur is not necessary. We'll have to discuss this through the sugya and daftes. Right, but these marmakomos and Rashba are very important. The Rashba that writes in Kuntras Achron that birur is not necessary when it comes to rove. Here, the Rashba and Chulin and Daf Memavav and Daf Nun Gimel that writes in Sveik Sveika, birur is essential. And the Tshuvas Rashba, right, that makes that link difficult, that writes Sveik Sveika. Simply midin rov. We'll have to see what exactly that Rashba means in the Tshuvas. When the Rashba writes that Sveik Sveika is midin rov, does he mean really it's identical to rov? Right, Poshup Shat and Ladi's Marmakomas cannot be identical to cases of rov. If you have an absolute rov, birur is not necessary. In case of Sveik Sveika, the Rashba is the one who assumes, right, that Bir, of course, is considered to be vital. So if you look at the Rabbi Kiveger, right, later in Suvas and Daf Yabez and Mabez, Rabbi Kiveger points out that there are two very different ways one can understand why it is the case of Sveik Sveika would be mutter. One possibility, of course, is the Shuvas HaRashba, that Sveik Sveika is Midin Rav. If you have to combine so many possibilities to create an issur, what is the likelihood that that in fact happens? The best it's a miyut hamatzui, maybe a miyut sheina matzui. And there Rabbi Kiveger points out that one could argue differently. Right, this is also found in the Prima Gadim. Right, in a separate chibur the Prima Gadim has, which is called Dinas Varadim and Simen Ches. Where Prima Gadim points out that don't forget the Rambam sheet. That the Rambam sheet is the whole concept of Sveika Daraisa L'chumra is only a Dindar Rabbanan. That's what the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tumas Meis and Peretes Halacha Yud Beis. The Kol HaSfekos, the Rambam writes, whether it's Tumar, whether it's Machalos Asuros, or whether it's Arayos, whether it's Shabbosos, the Rambam writes, Ein Choshishin Lohem El Midivrei Sofer. Incredible Kiddush of the Rambam. The whole concept of Sveika Darais L'chumra is only a din, Rabbana. So that's what the Prima Gadim writes. But here, Avikvega writes it here, in Chidush Mekesuvos, Nakebezim Adveiz. But if that's true, so the Sufik Sheni, a Sveik Sveika, is just simply Sufik Drabana Makuha. Not necessarily because of Rov, but simply because every Sveik Sveika just filters down to a Sufik Drabana. Rabbi Kveger suggests a possibility. What is the halach of Sveik Sveika when it comes to Dina Mamanos? An interesting Kiddush. He writes, if this lumdus in the Rambam is true, that sveik sveik is just simply a suffik drabanan, well, that's relevant when it comes to Yisurim. A suffik run is the kula. But Rabbi Kveger writes, as the Raposhit, you can't apply that concept to Dina Mamanos. It can't be motzi mamon based on a sveik sveika. I can say when it comes to Yisur Veheter, that you know that since there is only suffik derabanan, so good. The Chachamim said that one doesn't have to concern himself with that possibility. But you can say that in Dini Mamanos. If you'll create a sveik sveika that indicates that this mamon is mine, I have a right to be motzi mamon miyana muksa. That concept of suffik derabanan kula, sveika derais lechumra, yeah, that's only relevant when it comes to Yisur V'Heter. That's not relevant in the realm of Dinim Amanos. But if you assume it's Koach Rov, then Rabbi Kveger points out, Rov is not only relevant when it comes to Yisurim, Rov is also a concept that is relevant when it comes to Dinim Amanos as well. Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, for example, of Hochim Mamon Acha HaRov. So Sveik Sveika is Rov, that's relevant to Dinim Amanos as well. Can it be Motzi Mamon based on Sveik Sveika? If you're going to tell me that no, it's concept of Safik Darais L'Chumra, Sveik Ran L'Kula, those concepts are clear when it comes to Isser V'Heter. You can't apply a Sveik Darais L'Chumra or a Safik Ran L'Kula when it comes to Mamon. Then we have very different concepts. When it comes to Mamon, Hamotz Mechalav Haraya. We treat a Safik Tuma differently than we treat a Safik of Isser V'Heter, different than the case of Safik and Dina Mamonos. When it comes to Isser V'Heter, there you have the principle Sveik Adarais L'Chumra, Nesafik Dron L'Zakula. When it comes to Mamon, that in fact is irrelevant. So this is a critical machlokas, but very important for our sugya, that if you assume as Rashi that what's driving the Takana B'Sulin Eses is the case of Shar Nashim, that there it's a Sveik Sveika. So Poshub Shat and Rashi Shita is despite its Sveik Sveika, one is obligated to go the extra mile to see to it that the suffix could be resolved. Poshem Shab, that fits in very well with what the Chedushei Rashba writes, that Sveik Sveika requires Birur. What is this issue? To what extent do we assume that now, that it's only the Dieved, when no possibility of Birur exists, will assume that a Sveik Sveika is Mutter? Or do you assume, no, that's not true whatsoever? That Sveik Sveika does not require Birur in any shape or form? What's the basis of this machlokas Hashem? So we discussed in the Sugya Beis and Daf Gimel Beis machlokas Rishonim regarding Dover Sheish Lamatir. Here the Gemara quotes the Braisa that tells us the following. A Beitza Shenolda is Asura. And then the Braisa tells us the next line, Sveik Asura. Even if it's a Safek, it's Asura. I don't know when this hen laid the egg. Maybe it was on Yantiv. Maybe it was Erev Yantiv. Sveik Asur. And then line 3 of the Braisa. Vimnis Arva Be'elef Kulan Asuras. So line 1 is a Beitza Shenolda is Asura. Line 2, Sveik Asur. Line 3, Vimnis Arva Be'elef Kulan Asuras. So Tosus and Beitza and Daf Gimel Beis, the Ramaskal Acheros, raise the following issue. That last line of the Braisa, the imnis arva kulan asuros. What is that referring to? is that referring to the case of Vaday or the case of Safek? So Tosus quotes the view of Rabbi Natan. It says that last line of the Brisa, Nisarva be'elef kun asuros, a'israt smokai. That's only referring to the case of Vaday. If it would be a Safek, you wouldn't say that it's Asur. But if it's a Vaday Beitza Shinol Deshinis Arva, that is Asur. And that the Magen Mishnah points out is also the Rambam Shita. Because when the Rambam quotes this Brais Lalacha, the Nochus Yantu Perakalot, Halachachav, the Rambam quotes it as Vaday. The Brais is somewhat ambiguous. Vaday Safek Nis Arva. The Rambam just mentions the case of Beitza Shinol De Vaday. And then writes, Vafil Nisarva, Kun Asuros. So the Magen Mishnah comments that Poshav Shat and Rambam Shita is that Nisarva is only referring to Vaday, otherwise the Rambam should have mentioned the greater Kiddush. Even Sveika Shinisarva is Asur. So if you look in Chiddush and Rashman, Beis and Avkimu Beis, the Ramaslam Nisarva, he explains that what is the Kiddush of Rabbeinu Tam? That Isra Atzmokoi? Because if it was a Safek, Shinis Arva, that's Mamish, a Sveik Sveika. And a Sveik Sveika is Mutter. Why is it such a great Kiddush? That a Sveik Sveika is Mutter? Of course that's true. No, the Kiddush is the following. Here we're dealing with Isra Muktza, which is a davar sheish lamatir. When it comes to davar sheish lamatir, there's no bittul. Why is that true? So Rashi Shita, let's assume simply like Rashi Shita. Ad she tochlenu b'isr, tochlenu b'heter. Good. Sometimes we're forced into a situation of bittul. If you have a davar sheish lamatir, why do you have to rely on the hachra, on the kula, bittul today? Just wait until tomorrow. Motzai Shabbos, Motzai Yantif, Kol Yisro Muktzah will disappear. So, ad shetachlinu b'isr, why eat it with a possible isr? Mamish eat it beheter gomor. So that's a fascinating chiddush Rabbi Natan writes. If something is a sveik sveika is mutter, despite the fact that it's a davar sheish lamatir. This is what the Mechaber writes in Yeradei and Simen Kufyud. Kufyud is the same Simen mentioned earlier, davar sheish lamatir in Siv Zayin. That even in davar sheish lamatir, sveik sveika is mutter. And the Shach points out in Siv Katan and Vav that not everyone agrees with this at all. The Mordechai quotes the Rabbeinu Simcha that says that's not true. Generally speaking, Sveik Sveik is Mutter. But not in the case of Davar Sheish Lamatir. This Mordechai is found in Avodah Zarah, right in Paragimel, right in Simin Tav Tav Mem Aleph. The Mordechai writes that if it's Davar Sheish Lamatir, there's no Heter, Sveik Sveik. So Soloveitchik pointed out, what is the machlokes between the Rabbeinu Tam against the Shitas of Mordechai? Nechor this issue. Why is it that a sveik sveik is mutter? Is that mean dini hachra? We have a conflict. We have tzadim leheter, tzadim leiser, and the resolution is that a sveik sveik is mutter for whatever reason. That's just another Rashba, Mitam Ro. Push comes to shove, we'll take a good guess, right? We'll follow the norm. Or should we argue that's not true? A Sveik Sveika is not Mutter Midini Hachra, but rather Sveik Sveika, right? Al Pidin is Monea the latest HaSafek. If something is a Sveik Sveika, in order to create any history, you have to assume, well, A occurred, N plus B occurred, N plus C occurred. So that doesn't meet the threshold of Safek. We'll have to discuss, as we do these sugyas at greater length, Lachora, there is some mark beyond which we assume that al-Pidin, that's not even considered to be a safek. For example, of Meir Shita, Cheshin L'miyuta, every miyut, no, right? A significant miyut, Rav Meir says you can't ignore. Rav Meir was chayish for every miyut, mamash a miyut, shena matzei klal, of course not. There comes a moment where you assume that that likelihood, that possibility is so remote, that al-Pidin, it doesn't even register as a safek. What's the halach of sfeik sfeika? Is it that we're machriya leheter? Or do you assume that no? If it's a single safek, that's hachra, sfeika d'araisa, sfeika d'rabanan, sfeik sfeika, al-pidin, it's not a safek whatsoever. That's how the Rav explained this machlokas to Mordechai and Rabbi Natan. According to the Mordechai, even sfeik sfeika works midinya hachra. In which case, if you're dealing with davreshesh the material, why be machriya? Acha tochlenu biser tochlenu beheter. Wait until tomorrow, it's heter gamur. Boshab shat Rabbi Natan, that good, one can argue that's true when it comes to safek. But if something is a sfeik sfeika, that means al pidin. It hasn't met the threshold of safek. So it's not that we're machriya lekula. Very simply. And therefore, even in cases of Dorash Neshna Matirin. So this issue, this machlokas Rishonim regarding Dorash Neshna Matirin, this could follow as well regarding our issue of to what extent the sfeik sfeika requires any form of birur. If you assume that the Torah does not recognize this as a safek, in and of itself, there's always some crazy possibility that A, B, or C could have occurred. But if the Torah insists that a person doesn't have to be chayish for such an instance, birur is unnecessary. But if you assume that no, sfeik sfeika is midini hachra, so in such a case, in places where you can't be machriya, like Darash Eish Tamatirin, or in cases where one can be mevarer, so good. Someone would certainly assume that birur is necessary. When push comes to shove, and your birur hits a dead end, good, we'll assume that this woman is mutaris labal. But if you can't be mevarer, Adam can come forward and tell us what occurred, so wonderful. This has relevance in other areas of the halacha as well. What's the halacha of a sfeik sfeik when it comes to being motzi mamon? It's not our sugya, but you can take a look in Hilchos Bikurim. There's the machlokas Rambam and Raavad in Perek Yud Aleph, in the Mishnah Melech in Perek Yud Aleph, halacha Chaf. If you're going to tell me that when it comes to sfeik sfeik, that possibility is null and void, maybe that can be relevant for even areas of Dina Mamonos. We have a principle of safek brachos lahakel. Now, what happens if it's a sfeik sfeika? Based on sfeik sfeika, there is a great likelihood that I should be able to recite a bracha. Is that called a safek bracha? Do I say safek brachos lahakel and sfeik sfeika, or do I assume that's not true? If you look in the Lechem Mishnah, for example, in Ofis Brachos and Peredar Lachava. Now, the Mishnah writes, good, safek brachos lahakel. But if something is mamash a sfeik sfeika, a bracha can be recited. That's not called the safek bracha. And there are different types of sfeik sfeika. Just for illustration, right? A person forgot one day his sfeir som or tafetes. Right? He didn't count at night. He counted during the day. Right? The tzedadim to allow him to recite a bracha on the coming day far outweigh the possibility that he can no longer recite a bracha. No? After all, Tosfos Shita, you miss a day completely, you can still recite a bracha on Sfir the next day. And the further issue, the machlokas b'hagen Tosfos, so whether Sfir b'yom is meaningful. So if at the end of the day your argument is that the likelihood is I should be able to recite a bracha, are you allowed to do so? Or do we assume that no, al-pidin, even sfeik sfeik is called a safek, and in all sfeikos, the halachi is safek brachos lahakel. This is a safek the Prima Gadim raises, in the psicha tilchos brachos. What's the halach of sfeik sfeik when it comes to tilchos brachos? To an extent, one could argue, again, that's an application to the Tidur Rabbanon. But here on a level of Daraisa, right, very important. Whether Birur is necessary, what's the lach of Dabar Sheish L'matirin, that could be the basis of our Machlokas Rishonim and Daf Beis, to what extent the Chacham would make a Takana requiring Birur of an instance of Sveik Sveika. One could argue, that's why Rabbeinu Tam felt that cannot be the case. Now, even though, of course, Rabbeinu Tam also would like that the Takana should be formulated for the Rov, and Lo Plug covers the Mute. But if the Rov is going to be a Sveik Sveika, so how can you argue that the Takana is requiring Birur of that which is absolutely Mutar? The Rashban, that sugya, hopefully remember from last year in Daf Gimel, writes another possibility. In that case of the Beitz Shenolda. You have Beitz Shenolda, Sveik Asura, Im Nisarva Kulan Asuras. Let's assume that Im Nisarva is referring to the previous line, Sveika, even in a case of Safek, Im Nisarva Kulan Asuras. Im Nisarva Kulan Asuras. Why is that? Why is that considered to be a Sveik Sveika, which is Mutter? So one possibility is, of course, it's called a Sveik Sveika. But a Sveik Sveika remains Asur, Dabar Sheish L'Matirin. Sveik Sveika is Mutter, Medina Hachara. Don't be machriya. Dabar Sheish L'Matirin. Just wait till tomorrow. Then the Rashba writes, right, the further svara, that perhaps this is not even called a Dabar, a case of a Sveik Sveika. Why is that true? Because the Rashba writes the following chiddush, that that case where you have the possibility that it's a Beitza Shenolda and then Shenis Arva, that's what the Rashba terms Safegechad Begufo, Safegechad Vitaruvos. Those are not comparable Sveikos. No? A Sveik Sveik will be the following. You have Egg A, which is Muktzah, that falls into Pot B, and then one egg from Pot B falls into Pot C. So in order for me to reach into Pot C and pick a single Beitza, and that will be the problematic one, that's a Sveik Sveika. Both Sveikos, A into B into C, is a Safek of Taruvos. Here the Rashba writes the Chiddush that maybe that's not called a Sveik Sveik at all, because the Sveikos are completely distinct. One is a Safek in terms of its status. Is it a Beitza Shenolda or not? Is it Muktzah or not Muktzah? That's called Safek Echad Begufo. And what's the second? Its location. Safek Echad Vitaruvos. Maybe that's not called the Sveik Sveika. Maybe those two Sveikos do not combine. When you have comparable Sveikos, then you have a right to pile Safek A on Safek B. A jumps to B, jumps to C. The likelihood of me reaching my hand into Pot C and taking out the Chatichah Zisr, that's a Sveik Sveika. But here, Safek Echad Gufo, Safek Echad B'Taruvos, maybe Al Pidin that's not labeled as a Sveik Sveika. Why do I mention this last point? Not just simply because the good Chazara from Beitza. No, there's a Shita Mekubetzes. It's right on the daf in Zvachim. And of Ayin Dalad Amar Aleph, that quotes that whole Chiddush of the Rashba. The Rashba we began with in Chulin, where the Rashba writes that if you have something which is a Sveik Sveika, the case of the Shvarim with the Hari that jumped in and injured an animal, and then you did a Shchita, Birur is necessary. Aye, isn't it a Sveik Sveika? So what's the great punchline the Rashba has? Ein achinami, Sveik Sveika requires Birur. That was the starting point of the Rashba. The Shita Mekubetzes in Zvachim and Abayin Dalid quotes this case. Instead of the Ari, he has a Zaev, right, who comes into the herd, right, then instead of the Shvarm, he takes the sheep, right, then the sheep is, again later is found in the herd, and you want to do a Shchita, no? So, Bidika is necessary. Why is Bidika necessary? Shita Gubetzis writes, because that's not called a Sveik Sveika. Why? Because that case is Safek Gufo, Safek Pitaruvos. In that case, Einon Shavos. The Safek Rishonim is Imzu Behema Shanata Hazain. And the Safek Sheni is whether the animal that was trampled became a trafer or not. What is in terms of its status? What is in terms of its location? That's exactly what Shittu Gvetzis writes. There's no right at all from that Sugyan Chulin. Because that's Safek Echa B'Gufo, Safek Echa B'Taruvos. The Chiddush of the Rashba that writes that Sveik Sveika requires Biru. Based on that Sugya, Daf Nun Gimel, yeah, the Shittu Gvetzis writes that's not a Sveik Sveika. Just as the Rashba entertains this possibility against Rabbeinu Tam, that if you have a Safek Beitza Shinoda Shinis Arva, that's not called a Sveik Sveika. Because one Safek is whether this egg is Muktz or not. The other Safek is this egg in question? That's not called a Sveik Sveika. They have to be comparable Sveikas. So it's interesting Chiddush that Svar that the Rashba uses, right, as a possible disagreement of Rabbeinu Tam, that's exactly what Shittu Gvetzis writes in Zvachim and Afayin Dalet, regarding the Rashba's case, where the Rashba writes, you see, Sveik Sveika requires a form of Birur. But again, this could very well be the issue at hand, Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, that to what extent Sveik Sveika requires a form of Birur? If, for example, you understand in this session, another Rabbeinu Tam Shita, right, is that even in Dover Sheish Matirin, Sveik Sveik is Mutter. Because the Sveik Sveik is Monea, the latest Hasafe. No? That's the Rabbeinu Tam and Beitz and Daf Gimel. So that's Mamasha Rabbeinu Tam that writes the whole Takana must have been because of the case of Eishes Kohen or Pchusami Gimel. Cases where there's a single suffix, because the Sveik Sveika cases, Sveik Sveik Rabbeinu Tam writes doesn't require birur. Davar sheish lematirin is mutter. So how can you have a takana, the shem yavoin? Rashi shita, birur is necessary in cases of Sveik Sveika. What does Rashi write? That yisbar ha-davar kishet se ha-kol, shem yavoin. What are these Edom going to say? One could argue very simply, it's a Sveik Sveik. There are two issues at hand. One is Taftov, you know Taftov? One is Onis, one is Ratzon. These Edom that now are coming forward, how much do they have to say? Poshub Shat is famous. Tachtov, Lechora, that's part of the Gufo Shel Eidus. No? When it occurred. That's true generally with Eidus, no? When Edom come before Bezdin, that part of the whole process of the Drisha V'Chakira is they have to tell us where and when. The Gemara says that's part of the Halacha of Eidus Shatiyach Hazima. How can you have a possibility of Imanu Ha'isim? You couldn't have testified, you were with us. If the Edom do not indicate where and when it happened. No, the Gemara says that's why Jerisha V'Chakira is necessary. All the Jerisha V'Chakira, Oshub Shan, the Gemara's in Sanhedrin, all deal with the where and the when issue. Why is that so crucial? Because that's part of the Gufo Shel Eidus. So if Edom are coming forward and saying that this woman was Mezaneh, L'chora, Tachtav is going to be crucial. They have absolutely no idea when. Maybe it happened before Erisin, maybe after Erisin. We know when the Erisin occurred. Sein Achinami, if you look, for example, in the Tosas Rid writes in Ardaf, Shem Yavo Edim, and how will the Edim help us? The Edim will tell us, Masai Zinsa. The Edim will resolve the issue of Tachtav and no Tachtav. Good. What about the issue of Ones and Ratzon? Or one could have argued, maybe yes, maybe no. Look, maybe the Edom will fill us in on everything. The Edom will tell us it was clear to us when it happened, what happened, when it happened, and how it happened. Or whether with us or not soon. Based on what they saw, they'll be able to tell us. Did she acquiesce? Was she willing? Was she forced? Good. But is that necessary? One could have argued not necessary at all. Because once the Tachtav issue is resolved, so now you're only left with a single suffix. Tachtav is given. The only issue that remains now is the Onus HaRatzon. That's comparable to a case of Chusim Gimel Shanim, or comparable to the case of Eishes Kohen, where all we're left with is a single suffix, and now the Baal is Neman. So Rashi just simply writes the word Shem Yavo Edim. Rashi doesn't tell us exactly what their Edus is. Poshav Shem Tosas Rid Tachtav. So if you take a look at the Tosas here in Hardaf, the Ramas Hoshiim, Tosas says Nisbar Hadavar, Yavo Edim, and Tosas adds the words Shezinsa Baratzon. That's a great chiddush. Is that Bedavka Tosos? Shezinsa Baratzon. And without that, finished. Tachtav is insufficient. Or does Tosos just simply mean that, look, when Edom are coming and they're going to tell you the whole story, they're going to tell you who and what and where and how. They're going to fill you in all the details. But in Achinami, if all they can fill you in is Tachtav, when it occurred, and if Bezmo asked them, was it clear whether this was voluntary, involuntary, they'd almost say, couldn't tell. How crucial is that? That they don't have to be able to tell you Shezin Sivarasa. Why is that so crucial? Because the note of Yehuda writes the following chiddush. This note of Yehuda is found in Madura Kama, in Yeradeya. It's found in Siman Mem Gimel, and then found again in Siman Mem Nun Zayin, and again in Siman Ayin Tes. Three simanim, the note of Yehuda writes this great chiddush. Mem Gimel, Nun Zayin, and Ayin Tes. He starts with Arashma. Rashban Chulin and Afnun Gimel. Sveik Sveik requires Birur. What will that process of Birur accomplish? In the case of the Rashba, it's clear that the Birur will resolve everything, all outstanding issues, everything. Nothing is left hanging. You have an Ari, right, that enters the corral of the Shvarim. And we don't know which animal it damaged. And we don't know how significant, how serious the injury is. So the Rashi writes, Efshalavarir, what will that Birur accomplish? It will resolve everything. After we engage in Birur, we're going to know which animal was injured, and how serious the injury is. The Note of Yehuda writes the following chiddush. This is the Shitas HaRashba. Sveik Sveik requires Birur. But the case of the Rashba is where the Birur literally will be Mevarer, everything. What happens if at the end of the day you have a sfeik sfeika, and part of it is going to be left hanging? Part of it is not subject to bira at all. Let's assume, for example, you can go the extra mile, you can sort out all the facts, but at the end of the day, you're only going to be able to resolve half of the issue. So no debita suggests a great kiddush, and that is that in those circumstances, maybe even the Rashba would not require birur. No debita writes, afilu achar habirur, even if after the entire process, lo yivurur lanarak safed echad, all you're going to know is half of the issue, but you're still going to have to acknowledge. So he writes, in that case, who says anybody requires birur? In that case, look, right now we have a sfeik sfeika, and the birur is going to be insufficient anyway. So ein anu achrayin klal lamod al birur. And va'anu matir mitam sfeik sfeika b'lishum birur klal. That's the chiddush, not the birur. You look at all the makoros, they're all referring to cases where the birur is absolute. You can take a look in the different psakim, and the Yudah writes that even if l'chadchila were chayish the Rashba Shita, if there's still an element of doubt, l'achra kichlos hakol, there's no chiyu to mevar that safek. Great chiddush. Could very well be, right, that this is the diuk of Tosus. Tosus just adds those two words. Edim will come, and they will be able to affirm Shizim Sibaratzon. Why is that necessary? Tosus Rid, for example, just writes, Edim will come, and they'll inform us, right, when it occurred, and that's it. Now we're left with a single suffix. And now we're back to the cases in Abtesa of Eishes Kohen or Pusimi Gimel, where the Baal in fact is Naaman. It could very well be that's the Chiddush of Tosfos. It's only because of the possibility that Edom will come and they will illuminate all aspects of the Suffolk. Not only the Tachtav issue, but also the Onus and Ratzon issue, that Rashi would even suggest that there's a takana insisting on birur. Because if that were to be impossible, and if the end of the day were left with suffix, so therefore there would be no chiyu, birur, in a case where, good, one suffix could be resolved, but the other suffix has been kamomet. Since there's the possibility that the Edom will in fact come, and they will resolve all issues, then it's comparable to the case of the Rashba, and that's the Takana, according to Rashi. But as a possible deal, could very well be, that's why Tosus adds that Chiddush of Shizim Sibaratzon, not just simply the Tachtav issue. Because somehow, if there would be a variable that would be unresolved, who says that anyone would require Birur? That's this great Chiddush. No Debuta writes. He doesn't mention it in the context of our case. But he writes in cases of Sfeikos where there's one Safek that the Edom will absolutely be unaware of. And Ochinami, Bezal will not go through the whole process of Yirur unless they're confident that both Sfeikos can in fact be resolved. There's a further Har Rabbi Kveger has, which will be important when we do the Sugya and Daftes as well. Like Vega just raised the following possibility. Let's assume we're dealing with a case of a normal instance, Nashis Yisrael. So what's the issue? That good, the Baal will come with the Taina to Bezdin, but it's still a Sfeik Sfeik. And as a result of the Taina Sabal, we are not going to argue this woman now is Asura Bailu. Rabbi Kveger asks the following kasha. But life doesn't end there. Let's assume, for example, later that husband will die. Is this woman allowed to marry a kohen? Right? When you see the Gemara as an example, the Gemara says, look, if you're dealing with an Eishes Yisrael, you have a Sveik Sveik. If you're dealing with the case of Eishes Kohen, then it's a single Sveik. So therefore, the Baal in fact is Neman, and Sveik Sveik of the Baal is not Neman. Rabbi Kveger just simply writes, even if the case is an Eishes Yisrael, but it's still very important to know, was it tachta? Was it not tachta? Was it ba'onis? Was it baratzon? Because even if one suffix of tachta is resolved, so nivel l'posela is forbidden to a kohen, even if it was ba'onis. So right now she's married to an Eishes, she's an Eishes Yisrael. Yeah, but it's important to know for the future as well. So Rabbi Kveger just asked the following, that maybe even in the case of Eishes Yisrael, you require the resolution of both sveikos to forbid her to her husband. But the resolution of a single safek is very important to know whether she will ever be muteris the kohen or not. Maybe one could simply have argued that that remote possibility would not have been the basis of a takana. Right? You're going to assume that Basula Nisa is the Yom HaRevi'i. Why? Because right now she's an Eishes Yisrael. But it's important to know whether in fact she is Muteris Lakon or whether she's not. And therefore, we have to see to it that he will come to Beis Din to resolve even a single Safek. One simply could have argued right, that that's the case. And that's why, right, no, it must have been Eishes Kohen without Eidim, Eishes Yisrael with Eidim. But an Eishes Yisrael without Eidim, simply to shed light on a remote possibility of the future, her husband will die, can she marry a kohen? It did not concern the Chacham. Rabbi Kveger answers the following chiddush. That even if all there is a single suffix, why is it that the Baal has nemans? Here Rabbi Kveger writes the following chiddush. Even the nemanus of the Baal is only latzma. But it's not lacher. That's Rabbi Kveger's terence. Even when the Baal is Neman, let's assume a case, for example, of Eishes Kohen, right, or a case of Chusmi Bas Gimel, where a Baal is Neman, and therefore it's a suffix in his taina will create an Isser. Rabbi Kveger writes, yeah, that will be a level of Nemanos, Latzmo, Shavi Nafshe Chaticha Disura, but not Lagavi Acherim. So in a case, for example, of Eishes Yisrael, where the Baal just comes to Beis Din and says, Pesach Pasuach, he will not be Neman to forbid her to subsequently marry a Kohen, let's say, if he should die. This we'll have to discuss with the second Aptes. The Nemanos that the Baal has, to what extent is it full Nemanos? Even the Gabi Acherim, assuming it's a single suffix. Or do you assume that's not true? The Manas HaBaal is only Latzmo. And if you're dealing with the case of an Eishes Yisrael, it's the two Sveikos. And certainly that's not going to posit any Yisr for the future. So go through these Ramakamas. The issue of Bir and Sveik Sveika, right, is a very, very important one. This will be very crucial for the sugyas that we're going to have on Daf Tes. This is just somewhat of the background. And understanding why it is that a sveikos should be mutter, touched on different types of sveikos. Right, this is very important, that chiddush that the Rashba writes. And again, Poshub Shat, this machlokas v'shonim, is some of the background to our machlokas, Rashba, Nadin Yotam, whether sveikos mutter b'dini hachra, and whether or no, it's monea leidas ha-safek, and therefore no birur is necessary at all. Okay, B'linada will start tomorrow, the sugya, right, of onus. Okay, so try to go through the sugi with Rishon, that base and the base, simply discuss case of making takana makom ones, to what extent ones is a p'tur karban, to what extent ones is a maisa vera, what happens if ones is besof hazman. Hopefully already you've begun and seen some of these successes.